Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shank Show.
Hour number two of the Bill Shank Show. Russ Brown and Skip Sanders sitting in for Bill this afternoon. We are live at Dawson's Kitchen at 3360 Brookdale Avenue in Payne City, Georgia, where today they've got beef tips on rice, fried chicken, salmon, croquettes, chicken and dumplings on the menu, side items, green beans, black-eyed peas, cream corn, broccoli casserole, turnip greens, cabbage, macaroni, cheese, rice, candied yams, and boy, I'm hungry after eating all that. Hungry, hungry, hungry. And you never know who might stop in when you're out on location. He's shaking his head. Derek Bass of Taco Shed fame in the house. Is this your first experience at Dawson's Kitchen?
Yes, sir.
This is two. Now, you and Derek both, the first time ever at Dawson's Kitchen.
Yeah, but I didn't take mine and roll it up before I ate it.
He's got, Derek's got two plates over there. He's going to town.
Yeah, he was smart. He got chicken and chicken and dumplings.
Yeah, he's not messing around. He's going to town on that. And he's giving it the thumbs up. And that man knows flavor.
Yeah, he does.
That man knows flavor.
I mean, I ate a taco named after one of Bill's people. The Jake Fromm.
Oh, the Frominator.
The
yeah.
Frominator.
That's the steak and shrimp taco.
Which I think the NCAA is going to be investigating that.
I think it's his dad.
Is in about.
They're talking about there.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's all about who gets the money.
Oh man. Well, it's we come get you something good to eat on the way home. If you're headed home from downtown, headed back up north, it's right off of Vineville Avenue on Brookdale, and come in, grab you some to-go boxes and go home and have something good to eat. We got to talk about this. Now, I was instructed to make sure you behave yourself on this next story, Skipper.
I'm always have.
All right, well, news out of Athens, Georgia today. No, nobody got arrested.
That is news, man. That Golly.
I knew it.
Wow. Mark that on the calendar.
Walked right into that.
Nobody
one.
Got arrested off the team in Athens today. That is a big story. Congratulations, Dogs fan.
I apologize to all the Georgia fans listening. I walked right into that one.
What?
That was my fault.
I'm happy for them.
I know. We'll get into the spring game in a little bit. Don't worry. But from Athens today, University of Georgia President Jerry Moorhead and J. Reed Parker, Director of Athletics, Greg McGarity, announced a proposal today to create Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium in honor of legendary Bulldog head football coach and athletics director Vincent J. Dooley. And I think this is a well-deserved honor for Coach Dooley. He's a great man, nice man, won a national championship for the University of Georgia in 1980. Was the athletics director, was a big part of the University of Georgia for many decades, and will now have the field named after him.
I can't think of anyone who has done more for propane
You're awful.
And POS meat in this You're in this awful. State than Bill. Than,
Shut up.
Bill Dooley? No, Vince.
You're awful.
And it's Vince now, not Derek, right?
Yes.
Okay, it is Vince. Good.
Yes.
Good. I mean, and hey. He's the one that won that little national championship of theirs that they can't let go of. So I think it's well-deserved. Well-deserved now. You know, I think they should at least have Jan Kemp end zones, but I don't know that they'll go for that.
Oh, my gosh, you're awful. Jerry Moorhead said, quote, Coach Dooley's many contributions to this university can be seen across campus from Georgia Athletics, where he achieved unrivaled success, to the learning environment, where today many academic programs and initiatives bear his name, such as the Dooley Library Endowment Fund for the Dooley Professorship in Horticulture. The university community will continue to benefit from his service and dedication for generations to come. I've had the opportunity to meet Coach Dooley on a couple of occasions, and he's a very nice
man.
He
is genuinely a nice guy.
And to date, his wife, Miss Barbara, won easily in the top five all-time guests at the Macon Touchdown Club. She's funny.
But now, I don't think she's quite as fond of the University of Georgia as she was in past years. I may be mistaken, but I thought she had kind of had some unhappiness with them. My question is, and look, this is deserved. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, but boy, I think y'all got that on tape back at the station.
But
right?
I think, it's deserved for him at that place, you know. But I wonder why they didn't do this years ago.
You know, that was because he was kind of, for lack of a better phrase, they kind of
they pushed him out. They pushed him out.
They did him wrong.
And they still did. I mean, he's still done wrong. But, you know.
Well, I wonder.
That was 28 years ago, I think it was.
Yeah. I mean, this is
a long time to wait to make up to somebody who did the things that he did and really put that school on the map more than anybody since who? Wally Butts?
Seriously, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think it's an honor that's overdue.
Mm-hmm.
And but, hey, they got around to it. Was he 86, 87 years old now? So I'm glad that they did it now instead of posthumously.
Right. And then the dedication will be before the game against Samford it'll be September the 7th when they officially dedicate the field and name it Dooley Field. Just some biographical stuff here. Dooley served as the head football coach of the Bulldogs from 1963 to 1989. Director of Athletics from 1979 to 2004. As a head coach, he won a national championship and 6 SEC championships. While athletic director, Georgia won 23 national championships and 78 SEC team championships. Kirby Smart quoted as saying, "I am pleased that we will have an opportunity to recognize Coach Dooley as we launch the next football season. We will use this exciting development to galvanize private support around our capital fundraising efforts to expand Butchmere for our football program."
Was that necessary to say that about the capital fundraising right then? As kind of...
It's the name of the game nowadays.
Yeah, but I think you could have waited till maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
Yeah, well... That,
I mean, now it sounds like he's just using him.
The fella up on the flats takes the cake when it comes to stuff like that. So.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Excellent individual.
Don't get me
started. Heck of a coach. Won a big game just like last week.
But a well-deserved honor and a very respected man and a legend. And now he will have his name on the field there at Samford Stadium. And officially on September the 7th, it will be known as Samford Stadium at Dooley Field. So congratulations to Coach Dooley for that. And I know that's and you know, we talked a lot about how bad their home schedule was last year. So this year you get Notre Dame coming to town, you get Texas A&M coming to town, and now for one of these games, and with all due respect to Coach Hatcher, I mean, Georgia should win this game against Samford pretty easily. I mean, there's a reason to be there. That's good, because my big kick in college football right now is the teams that are scheduling a lot of, like, you schedule one group of five team, one FCS team. I don't have an issue with that. But when you do it three times like Georgia did last year, I'm speaking from a fan's perspective. Fans deserve better than that. Right?
Agree. Yeah.
And this year they're going to get that. And then for one of those games where people might be like, it's Samford. You won't hear a lot of that in Middle Georgia because we know Coach Hatcher and how well he does and what a good football coach he is. But, you know, at least now it's like, well, we can see Coach Dooley and he'll be honored. And
yeah.
Are you going for that game? Are you going to be there on hand for that?
I see that particular. What date is that?
That's the 7th of September.
7th of September. No.
Week 2. Yeah, second.
No,
week
no. I'll be washing my chickens that day.
Washing your chickens.
This is scheduled.
Well, there's no real smooth way to transition from Georgia to Georgia Tech, so I'll just bluntly ask you. You were at the Georgia Tech spring game.
I was.
Last Friday. What did you think?
You know, I think a tie is like kissing your sister.
I never had a sister, so I don't know what that's
like. I didn't
either,
but I think a spring game is often like kissing your old weird uncle. You know, there's just nothing good that can come out of it.
Is there something else we need to be talking about
here?
Well,
I mean, think about it, man. I mean, you know, hey.
Good Lord.
Hey, our offense beat our defense.
I don't know how you greet people in Puerto Rico, but wow.
I mean, that's more of a Kentucky thing, but I don't know. I felt like there were a few bright spots, you know. I mean, our receivers made some very athletic catches. If we'd have made some athletic catches the last couple of years, you know, we might have had a couple different seasons, but the quarterbacks looked like they were reading the defense as well, even though it was the same defenses over and over and over. You know, and Coach came out and said that he really limited the defense because people came to see offense. And, you know, he did some pretty cool stuff, like he came out in a, you know, Paul Johnson formation to start with, and then they moved into a shotgun.
What did you think about that? Did you think I was paying homage?
Yeah, I felt like that's what he said he was paying homage. you know, I think you have to say that, when in reality, I think it was, hey, this is the difference. You know, I think in his mind, I don't think in his mind he was really paying homage as much as he was saying, remember what you had, this is what you're getting, you know. I felt like one of Johnson's shortcomings was that he never did get under the center. And, he never went to a shotgun. And I think you can be married too much to a shotgun or up under center. And I'd like to see a little of both. But we didn't see anything under center the whole game. That may have been by design. I think he's trying to court some offensive players, and he wanted them to see that we're going to have a wide open offense. Overall, I liked what I saw, but I'm still very cautiously optimistic, is probably the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think a realistic expectation for wins and losses 2019? What do you think is realistic?
See, I think that's a problem. I think people are going to expect way too much.
Mm-hmm.
He still got Paul Johnson's people, you know, and I think the casual fan, let's say, is going to be expecting, you know, to contend for the national championship this year, and that's not going to happen. If we can have a winning season, go to a bowl game, you know, I think that's going to be a pretty good accomplishment, you know. I think our defense may be in for, and I don't know that this is what everybody else thinks, but I think our defense may be in for a little harder road to hoe than our offense, because offensively, most of our people have at some point played in an offense that was kind of similar to what we're going to be trying to play, and maybe that muscle memory will come back a little easier. Defensively, I don't know. We're not made to rush and blitz and come at him from all angles, but he said that's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And I think he needs to do that. I don't have a problem with that. But, kind of like the Braves, I think we're going to have a hard road to hoe this year. I think next year will be a little better. And, you know, that third year that he's here, we might surprise some people, you know.
There it is.
Because think about it. Last time we were in the top 10 every year.
That's what he said. That's what he said. I haven't been able to, I went back and looked, and that's not what I saw, but that's what
he
said.
You didn't look in the right places.
Obviously. You know? I guess I wasn't paying close enough attention. That's on me.
And is he a snake oil salesman in some ways? But you know what? I think maybe they need a little bit of that.
Well, you know, it's tricky, right? Because that's all he can do. And he's got to sell the program.
I don't know if that's all he can do.
Well, they haven't played a game. So.
Right. You're right.
I mean, he's doing all he can do, and I understand it from that standpoint. I just think sometimes he said things that aren't entirely true, and sometimes I think people don't have an appreciation for the coach that they had, and it's just like there's going to be a wake-up call at some point. Well, and then what's the tone going to be after the wake-up call? I guess so I'm more in a wait-and-see mode. Is this going to work? What is working? Is it about wins and losses? Is it about recruiting rankings? Is it about branding? What is a win? What is success? And I guess that is kind of defined differently for a lot of people. My running joke is it's going to be a more exciting brand of 8-5.
If it is a more exciting brand of 8-5, then we made a mistake. You know, they made a mistake by getting him, because at least Paul Johnson from time to time puts you in a bigger hunt. But I think right now, I think that what's it all about changes. And right now it's about branding. It's about branding the 404, branding the T, you know, branding the new style that they want Georgia Tech to be, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of the plan has been successful. And because that plan was successful, I think the recruiting is better. But I don't place a lot of faith in stars. I never have. And I think Paul Johnson taught us that stars are very subjective, too subjective, you know?
Yeah.
And whenever they're, oh, well, you're ninth in recruiting. Well, we're ninth in recruiting now, but we're not going to stay ninth in recruiting. But, you know, while you're ninth in recruiting, use it. Use everything at your disposal, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, it's like if you're in a fight, you fight me, you fight my dog, you fight everything I can get my hands on. And he's in a fight. So he's using everything he can get his hands on.
He is.
I like that. I respect that. Paul Johnson did not do that. Paul Johnson did things his way. If you didn't like it, to hell with you.
Yeah.
You know? I was able to see several things about him before and after the game that showed sharp contrast to Johnson. And I like Johnson. You know that. I still like him. I liked him before. But I was like, oh, this is pretty good.
Well, I think, you know, after 11 years, there's nothing wrong with something new.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I think my grandma, I still don't understand what this means, but my grandmother used to say there's more than one way to skin a cat.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't know if that meant she ate cats or or what exactly she meant by that. But we all have our particular styles that we, as individuals, prefer, but My thing is, for any head coach at any program, when you become the face of the program, just be who you are. And you know what I'm saying? And I think that's – I'll give Jeff Collins credit for this. I think this is who he is. Right, exactly.
You know, if he
so
was
trying – So it may not be the style particularly to my taste, but I can understand and respect what he's doing.
Well, I'll tell you this. The first thing I noticed when I went on the field, and I was there real early because, you know me, I don't like to walk. So I got there real early so I could get good parking. I come on the field, and I was about the only guy there from the press, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I look over to my left, like, who in the hell are these guys? These were the offensive and defensive linemen. They're pretty much the same guys we had last year, except the seniors are gone. They were freaking huge, Russell. Mm. These dudes were ripped. No bellies, and if there was a belly, it was an acceptable belly, you know. And you know what I mean by acceptable belly on an offensive lineman.
I'm trying to get to that acceptable belly level.
I'm sitting here looking at these guys, going, "My God!" So I went up to somebody I knew, came over, and I said, "You see anything different over there?" He goes, "Yeah, they're huge. They're huge, and compared to last year, there was a big, big difference." So we're sitting there, and you know, there weren't any kicking in the game, but they still did some kicking beforehand and stuff like that. So there were some centers and punters and all out there, a couple of quarterbacks, you know, just at the middle of the field. And I was watching them, and all of a sudden one of them looked and his head turned around and he said something. And I didn't hear what he said. Well, then they all stopped and looked, and then I hear what they're all saying. Coach, hey, coach! Coach was coming on the field, and they acknowledged him. Coach, hey, man, he did not initiate this. They go over there. They're bumping fists with him. They're high-fiving. They're hugging his neck. And I'm like, wow. How long since I've seen that at Georgia Tech? And I think the answer is never.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was like Coach Bowden was coming on the field or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty cool because I think you need to be scared of your football coach. But you can be scared of your football coach, respect him, and love him at the same time.
Absolutely.
And there was a genuine affection.
Well, that's good.
And you could see that from pretty much the whole team when he came around. They were, hey, I mean, they were really glad to have him there.
Yeah.
You know? So I thought those were my two biggest takeaways at the press conference. He was, you know, he's obviously completely upbeat. You know, the first time he gets his butt handed to him, I wonder how he's going to be. But, you know, so far it's working.
There was one downside.
Okay.
You didn't get the Ronald Acuna Jr. bobblehead.
I didn't what?
You didn't get the Ronald Acuna Jr. bobblehead. No, I didn't.
Yeah, well, y'all were supposed to give me one.
You were supposed to come to the Braves game.
I gave you one.
Why didn't you come to the Braves game with us?
Because I was doing something for the Shanks show. I sacrificed for you and these listeners, and I got screwed out of my Ronald Acuna bobblehead.
Well, you know, it's your priority sometimes. You gotta.
I mean,
you know, what matters more?
I put the show first.
You did.
I put the show first.
You did. You put the show first. It's what I do. And I put the Braves first.
Yeah, so. You did.
And I know I'm dead to you now, but it's okay.
you are. You know, you could resurrect, but you know, right now I say you're dead to me.
1-11. By the way, Derek Bass of the Taco Shed is here. We're at Dawson's Kitchen. He
cleaned his plate.
It's a happy plate.
It is a happy plate.
He ate.
That's a happy face.
That's a happy. Told you, see, Dawson's Kitchen.
That is a happy.
Dawson's does.
I just came in complaining about the doctor face, man. That is.
Look, I mean, his whole mood. And he says he would recommend it. And this man knows flavor.
He does.
See, there you go.
He does.
You got to get down there and try that BLT taco he's got.
Man, I am not much on B. I'm big there's on a, B, but LT, I'm not real.
There's a lot of B.
I'm not
on
much
that
of an LT person.
It's got a fried green tomato on it.
Or those.
And a special
I'm not
sauce.
Good on things that doesn't have feet. You know, if something had feet, I'll probably eat it. Things that don't have feet, you know, I'm.
So you don't eat fish?
Not a lot. I eat shrimp, but shrimp got feet.
They do. A little, yeah.
A little fetish.
A little fetish.
I don't know.
What? Whoa, wait. Hey, whoa. You know? So, yeah, Derek Bass of the Taco Shed recommends it. So, hey, you want to arrive in, folks, you got to come up to Macon for an errand or something and need something good to eat, come over
chicken
to
3360 and dumpling taco.
Brookdale Avenue. And folks in Macon, if you got business down in Warner Vegas, Taco Shed 247, right next to the Museum of Aviation. Good food all the way around. I'm not lying. See, you know our food's good.
Yes.
When Derek comes to here, to Dawson's Kitchen, right, and tells you Dawson's Kitchen's good, Tommy goes to the Taco Shed and tells you how good the taco
well,
shed is.
I was
is.
Telling, I guess
we're not
was,
lying. We don't come to places
to serve
bad food.
I guess it was Susan a little
food.
While ago I was talking to her. I said, well, I've never eaten here before. She goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, but I know it's going to be good. She said, why? I said, because well, Russ and Bill don't eat anywhere that's bad.
No.
You know, I mean, I got complete confidence in them.
Yeah, I think we're heading down to the steakhouse in Hawkinsville. You been down there yet?
I've been there, but not with you.
Yeah, I think we're heading down there next week. No, if we're at a restaurant broadcasting, look, we're not telling you this, you know, just it's some shtick or like, infomercial. Look, no, we're here because the food's
who
good.
Who goes to Kroger to eat?
We do.
Well, now the answer is people who know that Kroger's a good place to eat. You know,
yeah.
I mean, my wife says, I can't believe you're going to Kroger to eat. I said, well, it must be good. And it was, you know.
Yeah, well, we won't steer you wrong. I didn't get a body like this by eating
exactly
places that don't taste good.
I didn't fight my way to the top of the food chain to eat plants.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we're going to take a break. Phone lines are open. 478-646-ESPN is the number. 478-646-ESPN. We can talk Braves baseball. You can talk about if you have any memories of Coach Dooley, the field at Sanford Stadium is going to be dedicated to him. We can talk NBA playoffs. You can talk NHL playoffs. We'll listen. Skip's a big soccer aficionado. He'd love to field your soccer questions.
Love it. But we can talk kits all day long.
That and more as we continue on the Bill Shank Show right after this. Sports 27, Russ Brown, Skip Sada back with you here on the Bill Shank Show. Phone lines are open, 478-646-ESPN. We can talk Braves baseball, NBA playoffs, wherever you want to go in the world of sports is fine with us. Derek Bass from the Taco Shed has completed his meal and moved on here. We're live at Dawson's Kitchen. Another vote for the head cold voice.
Yeah.
So what am I supposed to do? Just like not dry off after I take a shower?
Don't dry off after you take a shower. Before you get into bed, turn the fan on. Dip your feet in water, stick them out from under the covers. There's a lot of things you can do.
Okay. I just do
it's
for
your
people.
Career, Russell.
All right. I'm here.
It's for the little people.
People seem to.
Hey,
man. You sound great with a cold,
look,
Russ. Oh, thanks.
Soccer.
What about it?
Football.
Oh, Lord. You're scaring me now.
I'm telling you, man. This Manchester United.
Oh, my Lord, have mercy.
When do they come to Atlanta? That's the one I want to see.
No, that's a different league.
Huh?
It's a different league.
Oh, I thought we were in like the major leagues.
No. No, that's the English Premier League. We're in Major League Soccer.
So the English Premier League is not as good?
No. It's actually better. Yeah.
So we're all excited because we're not quite the best?
Well, I mean,
even though we're the champions?
We won our league.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But
why don't we go play with them?
Well, I mean, it's a different league.
Different rules? Can you use your hands over there?
No, you can't use your hands. No. The rules are, well, there's some differences. Nothing drastic. Mostly to do with, like, replay and stuff.
They got replay in soccer?
Yeah.
What are they replay in soccer?
Did the ball cross the line? Were they offsides?
Do we do that or do they do that?
We do that. Should it have been a red card? Was he in the box when he got fouled?
Yeah, well, that's a big one.
Yeah, it is. It's a big one.
Huh.
That could decide a game.
So we're never going to play Manchester United, huh?
I mean, I guess they could play like a friendly.
What about the New Zealand Black?
That's a rugby team.
That's who I want to see them play. They'll wear them soccer players out. It's the same thing, except you...
No, it's not.
You hug, right?
No. Rugby's like football without
But
pads.
They wear kits.
Are you kidding me? Oh, I don't know.
I don't know what
they call a rugby uniform. Maybe. No.
Bloody kits.
You gotta, rugby's a whole different level. That's a whole other level.
I like rugby.
Yeah, that's fun to watch. You ever watch rugby?
I watch. Yeah. Okay. The rugby team at Fort Benning, okay, called the Cadillacs, all right? They asked me to play on that rugby team one time. I went, are you insane? No, we need some big guys for meat. I'm like, there is no way. Thank you very much. I went to see them play. I had a friend of mine played on the team. There is no way at 35 years old I was going to go out there and start my very first rugby game ever against Army Rangers.
No, that's a bad idea.
No. You know, and I like to think I'll do just about anything. I'm as good as the next guy, but, you know, I also saw me, you know, eating my steak through a straw for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's no good.
Not to mention having a heart attack 3 minutes into the game. Good God.
Yeah, you don't want to do that either.
No.
That's bad.
You know, they might not have been the best rugby team ever, but you're talking about in shape.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I hear the keg parties afterwards are pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah,
that's
was
That's always been the rumor.
The songs.
Oh, there's songs?
Oh, yeah.
There's I didn't know rugby there were songs.
They're funny, they're amazing, and they are dirty.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Sounds like my kind of sport.
At the break, I
missed out.
I'll sing you one or two at the break. But
sounds like I should have been playing rugby.
Oh, rugby parties are awesome.
That sounds like it's right up my alley. All right.
But
you been watching any of these NBA playoffs? Is that a no for you?
I could probably lie, but no, I haven't.
I'll be honest. I haven't really gotten into it much either.
I mean, the Hawks aren't in them.
Is that a product of age? Because that's exactly where I'm at right now. Like, I used to watch the NBA, right? I used to, like, people say, do you watch football? Yes, I'm a football fan. I watch the NFL. I watch Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football. I'm Major League Baseball. I watch, you know, Monday Night Baseball, Wednesday Night Baseball, Sunday Night Baseball. But the older I get, the more it's just I watch the teams I cheer for. I don't really watch the NBA. I watch the Hawks.
There's so much more that I have to do now than I had to do then. You know, I'm fixed to be 57 years old. 57.
Good Lord.
You know, and when I was in my 20s and 30s, I watched the NBA. But now, you know, I watched all those things. But now I got so much more to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have to pick my spots, you know. And now with DVR, I DVR a lot of stuff. And if the outcome's not what I want, I just delete it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Somebody made fun of me because I DVR the baseball. Because I'll get off work and I'll go exercise.
I got every...
But I'm not going to make it home by first pitch, so I don't want to miss anything.
I have every Braves game, every Yellow Jacket game, every Falcon game, every Hawks game, automatically DVRing at the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, automatically. And then when I get home, a lot of times I look, see what's going on, and I'll fast forward, see what I want to see, bam, you know. And keep moving until I catch up.
Well, we were talking about earlier in the show, we were talking about Jose Urena when he threw at Julio Teheran last year. And that night in particular, I remember I came in the house and it was about, now they started their games a little bit later last year, but we also got off the show a little bit later. So the time frame works out about the same. I usually get home somewhere in the second inning. And I was driving home from where I was exercising. And I just remember my phone started going, I'm like, what is going on? So I run in the house and pull up and see what happened. And then I looked at my phone. But that's why I did, because I'm not, I mean, it's funny how that changes it, because I guess as you get older, you do have a lot more stuff to do. But I'm still a fan. I don't want to miss anything. But for some reason, I can't get into these NBA playoffs. I watched the second half of the Rockets and the Warriors a couple nights ago. Didn't watch any of the game last night. It sounded like there was a little brouhaha at the beginning.
And then I can go back and watch that.
Yeah.
But, you know, all I got to do is YouTube that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't I just don't care.
And you know, the other thing that's kind of, I guess, changed a little bit, too, that I find myself doing is I'll have the Braves game on. And so, you know, depending on how intense it is at the moment, maybe I'm watching it, maybe I'm kind of paying attention to something else. But I'll just follow along on Twitter with everything else. I mean, if anything in the world happens these days, people are online tweeting about it, right? I mean, I wouldn't even know what Game of Thrones was if it weren't for Twitter.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen an episode, yeah.
And you know what? Everybody's talking about GOT. What the heck is GOT? I thought it was Grand Old Tech. You know? I didn't know. And then finally I figured it out. And I'm like, well, that didn't make sense to me. But, you know, I'm kind of where now I'll sit here and I'll, like, my wife loves Survivor. And I've kind of get into it every now and then, you know, and the guy from Macon is on it now, so we'll watch Survivor and have the Braves on with a split screen, you know, and then I'll stop Survivor, switch over, you know.
Are you watching this season of Survivor?
Yeah,
you know, the local guy Rick Devins with Fox 24.
Yeah, that's what I say. He's on there.
Were you watching that last night? What he
no,
pulled?
So don't.
Oh,
I heard it was. I heard he made a heck of a move. He seems like such a good dude. He's such a good dude.
You haven't seen what happened last night,
no.
Skipper. That's the first thing you do when you get home, man.
The Braves got killed tonight. Yeah, I'll watch it.
Well, I actually missed it. I was, you know, Lindsay asked me a question, and it turned into a deep philosophical conversation. You know how those things can happen when you're discussing parenting. So I missed the end of it. So I text Cam Gaskins, who will be sitting in for me on the midday show tomorrow. I text Cam. I was like, oh, my gosh, I missed Tribal Council. Is he safe? And he was like, you've got to go back and watch it. You've got to just go back and watch it. And I did. And, yeah, you got to watch it.
Look, that War Dog, I'd love to be on Survivor for about a day or two. But probably by nighttime of the first day, I would have slapped War Dog's teeth down his throat.
Well, you know,
I cannot stand him.
Well, I've watched this show since it started. Not every season.
I missed a couple.
Usually in the fall, I'll miss out. Because it used to be on Thursday nights, remember?
Yeah.
And when it was on Thursday nights, I'd be watching a football game usually. But when I was young, I think I could win this show. I really think I could win Survivor. But it's funny now, watching as an older person, there's no way.
Well.
There's no way. I would not. Because of what you just said. Some kid's going to just get on my last nerve. They'll probably have to fly me out of there.
Exactly. It's going to be... Well, we've actually had because I don't think in the whole time we've had Survivor, they've never really had a physical confrontation, have they?
I don't think so. I mean, at least not televised, if they did.
But I don't think they've had enough rednecks on there yet, you know? But I just can't stand that War Dog guy. He just gets my last nerve, you know? I mean, I really, you know, maybe Devin can just knock the crap out of him one day and then they'll just give him the title.
Yeah, just give it to him.
Just give it to him.
There you go. Well, yeah, you got to go home and watch that. Yeah. How that played out. That was pretty awesome. From producer Chris back at the station, we actually had a player who played for the Fort Benning rugby team call in. They weren't the Cadillacs; they were the Cruisematics.
Cruisematics. That is correct.
How about that? You never know who might be listening.
Yeah.
Fort Benning rugby team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not messing with those guys.
No.
Fort Benning rugby.
Now here's the thing: I'd have been on their side.
Yeah, it's a good side to be on.
It's a good side to be on, but. You know, the other people play rugby, too, and they're going, hey, what's the dude with the long hair? And he's kind of fat. Let's kill him because we certainly don't want to mess with the rest of them.
Right.
You know.
Maybe that's why they had you out there, too.
Yeah, they played over here in, God, it's been forever. But it seems like they played over here in Bloomfield a couple of times.
Okay. I don't know if the team's still going, but there was a rugby team here in Macon that used to play out at Central City Park, Macon Love. Rugby team. Great name.
First rugby game I ever saw in my life. It was in person. It was at Barnesville Buggy Days. There's a guy named Zolly Graham. We called him Smitty. And he had been a lineman for Georgia Tech under, I think, Bill Fulcher. He was a hoss out of Atlanta. And they had their rugby team come down and play another rugby team. And I saw a dude, and I'm pretty sure this is illegal, but I saw a guy get flat clotheslined.
Ooh.
And I mean, whoom, son, feet came up above his head, took him off, broken jaw, the whole deal. I thought, gum, that's a sport right there, you know. I'm not exactly sure who won the game, but it was not hard to tell who lost. And it was that dude.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds like a bad day.
Cruz Maddux. That's exactly what it was.
That's a different kind of name, the Cruz Maddux. I wonder how they came up with that. Does that have something to do with a cruise missile or something?
Like the football team out there was the Doughboys, you know, you know, I guess that was World War One, the Doughboys.
Yeah. I think it was.
And Fort Benning's a different place, man. It's cool though.
Yeah.
You know. But that's the thing I always tell everybody about Columbus. Don't start crap in Columbus. Because you never know who that other person is. Which is like that just about anywhere, but in Columbus it's cubed. Because, everybody there has done something, except me.
Except you.
Except me.
Oh, man.
The news is, I know the other people.
Well, that's it. That's the important thing. If you're not those people, you need to be friends with those people.
With those people, exactly.
That's how that works. 478-646 ESPN. We're live at Dawson's Kitchen. They are open Monday through Friday from 11 until 7:30 p.m. Saturday from 11 to 5. And on the menu today, beef tips on rice, fried chicken, salmon croquettes, chicken and dumplings. The location, 3360 Brookdale Avenue in the Payne City area of Macon. They also have cakes, pies, casseroles, all kind of different stuff here. Fresh produce as well. You can learn more at the website, DawsonsKitchen.com. Again, the phone number is 478-646-ESPN. Wherever you want to go in the world of sports is fine with us. And we're back with more of the Bill Shank Show right after this. .44 Russ Brown, Skip Sada back with you here on the Bill Shank Show. Phone lines are open, 478-646-ESPN. Anywhere you'd like to go in the world of sports is fine with us. We're live at Dawson's Kitchen. The address here is 3360 Brookdale Avenue in Payne City. The phone number, 478-742-9852. You can go to the website as well, DawsonsKitchen.com, and get you something good to eat for dinner tonight. Skip, you trying to lock down some chicken and dumplings now?
Yeah, I just made that request. We're gonna see what happens.
Get you a little sample. Good, man. I've had today on the meats today are beef tips on rice. Had that really good. Fried chicken is outstanding. Chicken and dumplings are good. I haven't had the salmon croquettes yet. I might need to try those today. That might have to happen. That's the only thing here.
We could
split one. We could. Why would we do that?
See.
We're not the type of guys that split things.
You're right.
Although the guy behind the counter did ask if we were brothers.
Yeah, he did.
Is that that's a compliment for me?
Well,
right?
You?
Yeah. I've been asking a lot of questions. Never been called Skip's brother before.
Nope.
That was a first.
Oh.
That was a first.
Yeah, he was. Y'all brothers. In the sight of God. Now, if it had been Bill, that would hurt my feelings.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess that's a compliment to me. I'll take it. I'll take that. Braves losers today, 11-2. Not really a lot to take away from the game other than Folty struggled mightily. He gave up. He was only charged with 2 earned runs. He actually gave up 6. There was a throwing error early in the game that it really came undone for him there in the 5th inning. And, one of the things about this team that you worry about a little bit, or at least I've been kind of worried about a little bit, is that for all the talk of the bullpen, and that's the crux of the issue with this team has been this year, but they're starting to struggle with runners in scoring position a little bit too. And they were one of the best teams in baseball at that last year.
Yeah, but in a game like today when the wheels fall off, you're going to struggle all over.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can – I don't know if it bothers me too much today, even though normally that would. But, today was awful. Today was awful. And I'm glad I don't have to go home and watch it.
Yeah, well, there's the bright side.
Look at the other bright side.
What's that?
They only play 9 innings.
Yeah, that it ended.
It's not like they had to play till somebody quits.
Yeah, it came apart quick. If you didn't see the game this afternoon, it was tight. But then the Padres scored 5 in the 5th, and then 5 more in the 6th inning, and just like that, it was 11-0. And
yeah,
everybody was just ready to move on. Let's get to a phone call. 478-646 ESPN is the number. Jeremy is in Macon. What's up, man?
What's up, brother? You doing all right?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
Well, I just with the Braves game, a couple of things. I was working on something, and I figured up that the bullpen, other than if you just forget Shane Carl,
yeah,
the bullpen in this series did not give up any runs. They other than Carl, I mean, again, it's hard to forget like the worst inning of the series, but
yeah.
Other than that, the bullpen was pretty good. The other thing, I'm a little worried about Josh Donaldson. Are you?
Yeah, I am, because and they were talking about this on the pregame show when he was first scratched from the lineup. Josh Donaldson's missed the first three games, or the last three games in this series, rather, with a calf injury. And Jeremy, they were saying how this is kind of how it started in Cleveland. It was a day-to-day thing, or not in Cleveland, but in Toronto before he went to Cleveland. It was kind of a day-to-day thing, and then the next thing you know, he's missed like 130 games or whatever it was. So I am a little bit concerned about that, because obviously at $23 million for a team that didn't really address the concerns of the bullpen, they put a lot of eggs in the Josh Donaldson basket, and if he needs to be in that lineup and producing for them, that's for sure.
And that's just it, is that one, you know, that's one of the risky things about the one-year deal, is that he has to be there this year. You can't say, well, you know, he was still a little injured, but we've got next year. You know, like, hey, he's got to be there this year. The other thing is that, and I don't know how much they owe us as fans, but this team is a little bit sketchy when it comes to how they describe injuries. You know, I mean, with Folty, when he got scratched from his start back in spring training, it was, well, if this had been a regular season game, he would have gone. He'll be fine. And then it was, what, mid to late April before we saw him again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and Darren O'Day, too. I mean, we were wondering when he was going to come back, and then all of a sudden he will be back after the All-Star game.
I don't think he exists, Russ. I really think that Darren O'Day is like some sort of glitch in the payroll system, and they just don't want to tell us that Darren O'Day is not a real person. He disappeared in Baltimore last year, has not turned back up, and somehow he's on the payroll. Because we haven't seen him. We have no proof that he's real.
Yeah, well, just don't touch his stapler, I can tell you that.
That's right. Don't touch his stapler. He's down in the basement. He's still collecting paychecks. Actually, they may not be collecting paychecks anymore. He's just going to set the building on fire one day.
That's it. Hey, let me ask you this. Speaking of things that are on fire, that bullpen, you did reference how they seem to do better this series. Who, and there can be more than one guy out there, but who in particular do you trust in this bullpen in high-leverage situations?
And see, that's the problem right there. That's why even if you get to the point where you're like, hey, this is a pretty good core, you know, A.J. Minter, he was great last night, but it was also a 5-1 game. And the last two times he's been out with high leverage, he's exploded. Jacob Webb, he was good two games ago, but last night he had a little trouble getting out, and he's a rookie. So we should trust Luke Jackson. He's been really good other than one game this year, but he also got DFA'd like six times last year. So I guess the closest one that I would trust, like, was, it's finally to the point, you know, after a month of this, when Luke Jackson comes in the game, I'm like, all right, he's gonna do good. Josh Tomlin's kind of in that same boat, although, you know, he apparently likes to give up home runs, hadn't done that this year, but he did last year. But yeah, Tomlin and Jackson are probably the two that I feel the best about. But I'd still like somebody else at the back end.
What about Craig Kimbrell? What are your thoughts on him?
I'm like the exact opposite of the Braves, so my opinion doesn't even really matter on this, because the Braves seem to be like, we don't want him unless we can have him for 1 year. Whereas for me, with this team being constructed the way it is and that division being as loaded as it is, I almost don't want him unless it's a 3-year deal. I want him on 3 years. I want him because I just don't see where this bullpen is going to get to the point in the next 3 years where he's not one of your best two relievers. Even though last year was a down year, he still would have been like the second best reliever for the Braves. And the best reliever would have been Aroldis Vizcaino, who's, you know, gone for the year. So I would love if they could get him. I think I saw a range where he wants like 3 years and somewhere between 45 and 52 million. I'd sign him to 3 years and 50 million without blinking. But that's not what the Braves, for whatever reason, are hung up on getting him for 1 year and they want to wait until after June so that they don't lose that draft pick. That better be one heck of a draft pick. Is all I'm that second round draft pick better be the best second round draft pick in the history of baseball, for as tightly as the Braves have clung to it.
Yeah. Hey, Jeremy, appreciate the call, man. Good to hear from you.
Have a good one, man.
All right. This, you know, one thing I will say that was pointed out, and I can't remember. It was either David O'Brien or Mark Bowman on Twitter. I can't remember who to give credit to, so I'll just give credit to both of them for saying it. About that second round pick, and that's been part of the speculation that Craig Kimbrell won't sign until after June because the Braves don't want to give up that second round pick. And obviously, with what happened with the international scandal, they probably need to hang on to as many draft picks as they can. But one interesting thing about that is the way the money is slotted. It's not necessarily that second pick, but it's the money from that second pick that you can apply to your first pick. So you can pay whoever, you know, you can offer a bigger contract to the guy you want to take number one overall. So keep that in the back of your mind, too. I don't know. I that's an interesting thought. I haven't heard. I think Jeremy may be the first person I've heard come out and say, I don't want Kimbrell for just 1 year. I want him for three. And I have to say, I mean, as long as he's healthy, that makes a lot of sense. I'm a little bit, you know, the people talked about the dip in velocity last year. The one thing about Craig Kimbrell that does concern me is his former team, the Red Sox, that he won a World Series with last season. They need help in their bullpen too, and they're not calling him either.
Yeah.
So that is, I don't know if I would go so far as to call that a red flag, but it's at least a yellow flag, right? I mean, that's something you're going to have to dig into before
you
sign.
And how many yellow flags do you get before it's a red?
Well, in soccer, two cards.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Flags are
NASCAR. I'm trying, man.
You're good, though. You're getting there.
I'm trying.
I'm surprised.
I'm trying.
Have you watched the game yet?
I watched that one where the five stripes beat the no stripes.
Yeah, okay.
For the championship.
Oh, okay. There you go. He watched the championship. We got to take a break for the top of the hour. 478-646 ESPN. More of the Bill Shank Show live from Dawson's Kitchen right after this.